Stacey, thanks so much for being willing to come back on the Debt Free Mom podcast. I think we've only had like one or two repeat episodes. So it is really cool for me, and I know for the listeners too, to be able to hear a follow-up and kind of see the continuation of your journey with budgeting and money. So since we last talked, has there been anything that you have been able to accomplish, or even just the way you approach your money, that you feel like has grown or changed, or that you've been able to accomplish as you've been using the budget tool?
Well, I think actually the first time I was on here, I wasn't using the budget tool yet. I think we were using Every Dollar still. And I started using your budget template in like March, I believe, February or March, a little bit later. And there was a little bit of a learning curve there. Like with me and my husband, there's a little bit of a like growing pain just figuring out how to use it. But it's really, I feel like, helped us get a more realistic picture and a more real-time picture, actually, the way to put it, of like what he's actually doing.
Okay. So you had been using Every Dollar before. I know Every Dollar has a pretty new feature that allows you to kind of break it down by pay period. Had you been trying that before, or was this template the first time that you switched from like a monthly budget to a budget by pay period?
Yeah, this was the first time we did. I don't think they'd had that feature yet, or it was like a paid feature, but we hadn't used that yet. It was only a once a month budget thing on Every Dollar and we were using it. So switching to a pay period was, like I said, a little bit of a learning curve.
Sure. So what are the pay schedules that you have inside of your budget?
I am paid every other week.
Okay.
My husband is paid once a month. And we were using Every Dollar because at the time, his paycheck was the majority of our income and mine was like a supplemental. And so it made more sense to do a budget monthly. But we were finding that I would kind of guesstimate what my budget was going to be for the month. And I would still like look at our bank account and be like, these two things are not lining up. Like, I don't know where the miscommunication's happening, because like on paper, all the money over here is allotted and all the money over here, but they still weren't lining up. And it was getting frustrating, not knowing like really where we really were standing as far as how much extra we had, if we could move anything to savings, stuff like that.
Yeah. So when you switched from the monthly, do you now set up your budget in the template by your schedule instead?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Did you notice that it was more clear or more accurate to what your bank account had once you started looking at your budget according to those 2-week pay periods instead of looking at the month as a whole?
Yeah, it did. And again, like, I don't know what like magic is in the pay period, like the 2 weeks versus the month. But I would then notice like, oh, we actually have like X amount of dollars left over. Mm-hmm. We can do something, you know, put it in savings or use it for something fun. Or like, oh, we're going to go over this month, so I need to like pull back on anything like extra left over, or, you know, things like that. Like it just, yeah, made it a lot more clear after figuring out how it works.
Yeah. I think one of the things that feels like a small thing that's actually a big thing, that's that magic you talked about, like why does this feel so different, is that you're only budgeting money that you know is currently available. So with a monthly budget, kind of setting that whole month up regardless of when your other incomes are going to get paid, there's always this hesitation because you know in your mind, oh, I planned for all this income, but I also know that I don't yet have that income available to me. It's because you know you're only working with dollars that you actually have. So it gives us a little more freedom to be like, oh, I'm looking at my budget. It's telling me what I can do. And I could actually go do these things today. I don't have to wait and see what's going to happen at the end of the month. I think that's a common thing with monthly budgeters who aren't paid once a month, is that they wait to do anything related to their goals until the end of the month to wait and see if it actually shakes out the way they thought it would. And then inevitably, when it doesn't, the thing that gets hurt is the goals. It's not the spending, it's the goals. I know for me, when I made the switch from budgeting once a month to budgeting every other Friday, when I first did that, that was a big mental shift for me in a really positive way of, oh, I can actually do these things.
Yeah. And the other thing that I've noticed too is, I'm not sure exactly how to verbalize it, but like having that start over like only 2 weeks later, it makes it to where the stress level is lower. Instead of being like, we're only halfway through and we still have to get through the next 2 weeks, it's more, oh, I have 2 days left, it's fine, we'll just shop our pantry, or, you know, like we'll figure out dinner here at home instead of have to go to the grocery store, as opposed to we've got 2 weeks left and I only have like $50 left in the grocery budget. What are we going to do? Like the mental stress is not there nearly as much or as prevalent as we're doing monthly.
Yeah. 30 days is a long time to stick to anything. I know, you know, like almost every budget tool is set up for that once a month thing. And you're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Like, all. And I think it's because most of our bills are paid once a month. And so we think that that would be the easier way to budget. But bills are the easiest thing to plan for. The much harder thing to plan for is all the variable stuff, all of the constant expenses, like our gas, our groceries, all of those. And those things we actually tend to do on more of a weekly rhythm. Like we just kind of naturally have habits around our groceries and our gas and our restaurants in a weekly increment instead of a month. And so I think anytime we can break it down a little bit smaller, like you said, I know I have experienced the exact same thing as when I start to feel that the budget is tight or that I'm like over this pay period, it got messy or there was something unpredictable or whatever it was. Usually when I start to feel that, I'm typically 5 days or less away from a reset. And that just feels so much more manageable than knowing it's the 11th of the month and I have 20 days to go, right?
Yeah.
So you switch from monthly to every other week. Yours is a larger portion of the household income, or are you still supplemental income and you're just following your schedule for the 2 week instead of the month?
Well, for right now, it has. I took a 13-week contract at a hospital up here, and then I renewed for the almost like through middle of December. So for like a good 6 months of this year, then my income's going to be more than my husband.
Okay.
So that was a switch that we had like a pretty significant increase in our income starting in like May for my income.
So that helps a lot too, because one of the things when people have multiple streams of income in the household, if we're trying to decide which pay schedule we should follow in the budget, one of the variables, but not the only variable, but one of the things we look at is which income is either larger or less variable. What you describe is exactly what I do in custom budgets too. Even if we have two incomes and one is paid once a month and one is paid biweekly, even if the biweekly one is substantially smaller than the once a month one, I still build that budget according to the every 2 week schedule. So one thing with the template I want to discuss is, was there anything that as you switched from every dollar to budgeting bi-weekly, were there any expenses that you realized, oh, now that I'm in this 2 week window of time, I'm planning my money in these 2 week increments. Is there anything that shifted about the way you spent?
So the thing that comes right off the top of my head is our car insurance. We pay it twice a year, so every 6 months. Usually what I would do previously in every dollar, just every month, I would allot, you know, like that premium amount divided by six. And I just move that money over to our savings account. Like it would just sit there for the premium whenever they came due. But using your template, I would notice some weeks when like we'd have a big excess 1 week and then not a lot the next week. And so I would shift around. I mean, it would still like shake out to about once a month, but it would depend on if it's the beginning of the month or the end of the month when I would move that money over.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think with every dollar, like just right in first of the month from the paycheck, because I've just moved the money over.
Mm-hmm.
And with the template, I can see now when that money's actually available to move it around, even though, like I said, it's still once a month usually, but it's coming out at different times.
Yeah. I think it helps you recognize that every pay period and every month is actually going to be quite different from each other. And we assume, oh, month to month, I can work on averages. I can take 600 divided by six. And if I set aside 100 every month, like that's going to be there. But in reality, whether you're paid biweekly or paid on a different schedule, each month and each pay period are actually quite different from each other. Even if you have things like auto pay or budget billing for your utilities or whatever it is, it's just, there's just too many variables in life to make each pay period or each month look exactly the same as each other. And so I love the ability to be able to like forecast into the future, not using averages, not using guesses, but actually like specific dates in mind. And then exactly what you just described with the car insurance, be able to kind of backwards plan for if this is the due date, what can I do in advance to be prepared for it? Even if one pay period, you could set aside 400 towards that goal and the next pay period, you could set aside 50. And I think without seeing those real numbers, it's really easy to think that, oh, the 400 pay period was a success and the $50 pay period was a failure. When really, if we are using it like a map for our money, It's just the reality of when our expenses are due, and it doesn't mean we did anything wrong if we have $400 extra in one pay period and 50 in the next.
Yep.
With a biweekly schedule, have you noticed any patterns? Do you have all your extra towards your goals available on the pay periods that don't include your mortgage or rent?
Yeah, I think definitely our mortgage and student loan payments come out the first of the month. So that first of the month pay period, that's usually when it's leaner as far as extra goes. And then the one that's like for later end of the month, there's usually a whole lot extra. Since I've been taking this contract, we've been very blessed to have quite a bit extra in both pay periods. But before this happened, that was definitely the way it would happen, that all the big stuff would come out at the beginning of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And that would kind of be like, we were breaking even, if so to speak, like all right, we were like $10 below on grocery, and like that was our extra for the month. But and then the second part, we have a whole bunch of extra.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did certainly happen.
What's interesting, the very first time or when you fill out the budget template by pay period as opposed to by month, is noticing those things that you already kind of knew because you would sense it or feel it in your checking account, right? Like people could kind of tell me off the top of their head, even if they're not budgeting at all, what part of the month feels like it has a surplus and what part of the month feels like it's really lean. But what's cool about the budget by pay period is that we get to see that in real numbers, as opposed to just like, oh, it seems like there's more money in my checking account than I thought there would be around the fifth of the month. And then I'm really having to, you know, keep the purse strings tight around the 20th of the month. But we can actually see that ahead of time. And I found when we were paid biweekly, that having those pay periods that we cover our bases and make ends meet and whatever, I felt less frustrated during those pay periods because I could see the ones that were coming up and I could know it's okay if this pay period I don't send a bunch of money to savings because I can see in real numbers that next pay period I will have more for our goals. One thing you mentioned when you applied for coming back on the show was the idea of the checking account not being a vault, but instead being a waiting room. Can you talk about what that meant for you or what kind of light bulb maybe went off with how you had been approaching your bank account?
So we had previously kept like several thousand dollars in our checking account that was just kind of there. I mean, we had our checking account, we had like a small savings account, and then we had a high yield savings account where our emergency fund was and where I would put stuff for like sinking funds, like the car insurance, like all that would go in there because then I could earn interest on that while we were, you know, building the money up. And, you know, listening to you talk about using the checking account as the waiting room, I was like, I wonder if we could pull that off, like having like $1,000 be our, you know, false zero number. I even tried to float a $500 to my husband and that like made him too nervous. So we compromised on $1,000 and then put all the rest of it in the high yield savings account, just to kind of see what would happen for a month. I was like, let's just do it for a month and see what happens. Because I told him, I said, you know, with all this extra money sitting here in this checking account, we're earning like 72 cents in interest every month. But I was like, but if we put that in our high yield savings account with the rest of our emergency fund, and if we like doing it this way, that can just become part of our emergency fund. We're earning, you know, $50, $100 in interest a month.
Yep.
And so we tried it. And I told him we could try it as a trial basis for a month just to see how we like it, see how it makes us feel. And we was fine. Like, nothing bad happened, you know? Like, especially using the template, we knew how much money we were going to have roughly coming in, how much was it going to go out, like what would be left with at the end. And so all that extra money just stayed in the savings account, like as the extra emergency fund, or like then it like was prepaying car insurance or whatever else.
Yeah. So I love a couple of things about that. Number one, I love that you were willing to try it as like an experiment and that's how you communicated it to him, because nothing is going to work for everyone. And so seeing something as a rule that we have to do, I have to either accept or reject this idea, kind of puts us in a box of maybe never trying something that would actually work for us, even if we don't initially feel like it would work. So I think treating anything like that as an experiment, I'm willing to try it, is a great step one. And I'm willing to reverse my choice if it doesn't end up being something that we like. If it wasn't something you were comfortable with or you liked and you went back to what you had done before, ultimately that's not going to make or break your finances, you know, to have that couple thousand in a checking versus savings. And then you have more information. You know, okay, we tried it. It wasn't for us. And so now we know for a fact that we're doing the thing that works for us. But on the flip side, what you guys found out was, like, one of my favorite phrases is nothing bad happened, right? And so once we learn that, sometimes we just need to try it once, and our brain needs concrete evidence that nothing bad really does happen. And then we can go from there and shift how we had been doing it to a new way of doing it. Not only is it mathematically good sense to put any money that you're not planning to spend into a high yield savings account, spending wise, we just make different choices when we know that there's thousands of dollars sitting in our checking account versus when we know the money that I'm budgeting is the money that's in the checking account. And then, you know, my false zero of 1,000 is there. There's this sense of, really, I could go buy almost anything and nothing bad will happen if I overspend because I have all this money sitting in my checking account. But over time, that adds up, and then we're left with a lower amount than we would like to see in there. Our approach to our money also improves when we view it less like a vault that keeps our money in there for the long term and more like a waiting room. This money is just sitting here until I tell it what to do. And then once I tell it what to do, I'm going to move it out. So were both of you comfortable with that, or was one person more enthusiastic about it than the other once you tried it?
That was actually a kind of an unintended benefit of moving that money over, because it made my husband, who is definitely the spender of us, it really pulled him back because he rarely ever looks at what our savings account amount is. So he was just looking at the checking account, and he said, I'd look at that checking account and be like, whoa, there's no money in here. And so then he just wouldn't spend anything.
Yeah.
So it would help him rein in his spending. I mean, it was a benefit for both of us. We both liked it. It did definitely help him, though, be more aware of his habits.
Mm-hmm. It's so normal to feel this way. But the savings account belongs to us, and we get to use it just as much as a checking account does.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, moving the money from the checking to the savings, you didn't give anybody else any more control over your money than the checking account had.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that there is just this sense that the checking account is somehow more accessible than a savings account. I know for me, when I had hesitations about opening a high yield savings account that didn't have like a brick and mortar bank, and I was kind of grappling with, how do I access my money? And, you know, those what ifs of, if for some reason I'm stranded on the side of the road and need $2,000, whatever those scenarios are that we come up with, my little workaround for that was just opening a checking account at Ally, which was where I had my high yield savings account. And then I didn't use the checking account, but I had a debit card associated with it, and I could do instant transfers from the high yield saving at Ally to the checking. And I just carried that Ally debit card with me. And that was basically like my security blanket of instant access to my emergency fund. Have I ever really needed to do that where I had no other option? No. And I've been doing that for 10 years. But at the same time, it's just, you got to play out those scenarios. And so I think it is helpful to practice it, to realize nothing bad happened, and then also just talk ourselves through, even if I need to access the money, there's a whole host of ways that I can pay for what I need to and then pay myself back later or whatever it is. How many pay periods do you feel like you needed to work through and let them be a little messy before it felt a little more automatic or routine?
It was probably two. It's probably about a month, I would say, before it became pretty straightforward and kind of second nature.
Do you use a Google Sheets app or an Excel app, or are you all on a computer? What devices do you use to access it?
We mainly just our phones. I made a Google Sheets shortcut for my phone. So
okay.
Straight there.
Very nice. The app is also great if you have, or if you want to download that one. That allows you just a little bit more editing if you want to highlight something or things like that. But yeah, a shortcut is great too. So the two of you share it. Even if he has access to it, does he look at it ever, or does he look at bank accounts or talk to you about it?
He does. He puts in, he has actually a different color on the, like,
when
he puts
his, I love that.
He highlights his spending in a different color, because there'd be times I'd be like, where is this charge, like, from Walmart coming from? Yeah, I look through all my stuff and be like, I don't know where this is coming from. And so he started putting his spending in a different color on the highlight link. But yeah, he definitely tracks it too.
Awesome. And would you say that's more consistent involvement from him than you had with every dollar, or was he kind of in every dollar as well?
It's about the same. There's still quite a bit of reminding on my part that has to go into it, you know, like about once a week, like, have you put everything into the budget?
Mm-hmm.
It's like just a running. In fact, at this point, I should just make a shortcut on my phone, you know, right? Just push a letter to go, because that's about once a week thing.
If you're not paid once a month, why are you budgeting that way? A monthly budget ignores the fact that sometimes your expenses are due before the next paycheck is available. A pay period budget is built around your unique pay schedules so that your money doesn't feel like a mess. Create an accurate, realistic plan for getting the most out of each paycheck. Get started budgeting by pay period today with the best-selling budget template and mini course from me, Debt-Free Mom. It's available for just $9 at debtfreemom.co/template. I spent years feeling frustrated that my money wasn't working the way it should. It wasn't until I discovered the magic of budgeting by pay period rather than by month that my money started to feel stable. Pay Period Budget Academy is my signature budgeting course that helps hundreds of women take control of their home finances. Join today at debtfreemom.co/PBA and use the code podcast at checkout to get 20% off your membership.
But at least he wasn't turned off by a change in the budget.
Well, he was the one that actually took the two pay periods that it took to like the settling period was actually mostly him. I don't know if it's just Google Sheets in general that I was like a little bit of a learning curve for him or figuring out the theory behind what was going on. But he was the one that kind of had the biggest, not complaint is the right word, but like grumble, I guess, the most, like it was hardest for him to get behind it.
Yeah. I can see how if you weren't the person who set it up, it could be like, what am I even looking at? Like, where are these numbers?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a very valid learning curve that would need to happen if you're not the one that kind of knew what it looked like when it was blank and how and why each number was placed where it was. In my head, there's two phases to using this template. There's figuring out how to actually set it up and where the bills go and how much to budget for the different categories. But then the phase two is like the bigger one of actually tracking consistently and following through once a pay period actually starts. So was there anything that you had to shift about the way that you had been budgeting, moving from every dollar to this budget template in terms of like, did you have to check in more frequently? Did you have to change the way that you were, you know, tracking your groceries or anything like that? Was that tracking process similar to what you had been doing with every dollar, or did you need to kind of change what your habits were about that?
Not really anything off the top of my head that I can think of. I would check in long term is actually what changed. Like I'd be able to like look ahead long term. Like my husband has two or three annual dues to like high school choral teachers association, something or other. Then he has to pay once a year. Things like that, that we don't necessarily budget for until it'd be like the month before being like, oh crap, next month we have like these $300 worth of dues that we have to pay. So that was a change. Like I was able to look way ahead and then forecast where that was going to come. Where the money was going to come from and which pay period we could kind of pull stuff from to
walk. For you, because you had been budgeting, it was just a change in tool as opposed to going from not budgeting at all to budgeting. That's a pretty good distinction between every dollar. I would say it's very similar to what my template is when it comes to the pay period or the month that you're currently in. But like what you just said, it's very hard to find budget tools that let you see those same things over time in advance. I know my big frustration, I used Mint until I started budgeting by pay period on a template. My biggest frustration was that it would be like the 25th of the month and I was itching to get ready to kind of set up the next month and see what I was going to be like. And I couldn't really do that until the month already started.
Yeah.
But then when you set it up on the first of the month for money that you need to take care of in that month, you kind of feel behind the eight ball right from the get-go, because if there's an annual expense that you're just now remembering as you're setting up the month's budget on the first of the month, it's kind of like, I could have had time to set money aside for that last month in preparation for that bill, but I'm just now realizing that that's there. I feel like for myself, not being a great natural planner, like not having a in my mind where I could just kind of keep hold of what I needed to be paying for in future months, the spreadsheet allows me to keep those numbers somewhere that I can visualize what do I need to take care of in September and what's different about October. So how far out are you planned? Did you start with just those six pay periods at a time?
I started when I got it in March, I did the whole rest of the end of the year. And there's been a couple of times where I've had to add lines for things that I had forgotten about or, you know, go back in there and add things. You know, I remembered later, but yeah, that's been the biggest help, being able to plan out the whole year of what financially we need to be keeping track of.
Yeah. I feel like having a spot for it. You go to a school meeting or something and they're like, oh, in December, we're going to go on this big field trip or whatever. I love being able to, instead of just opening like my notes app or my calendar app and sticking that field trip in there, also going ahead and in the same breath, opening my budget and just putting a little note, not even if I don't know how much I'm going to have to spend for that, but just putting a note in whatever line or category that best matches that and just say, hey, big field trip, December 5th or whatever, just so that it's on my radar as I then go from those meetings that happen a lot of times at the beginning of the school year. As it approaches, I don't feel blindsided by whatever that is. Once you use it a complete year and you're in your second year and all the notes are already there, this annual due is in July and this annual fee is here, it just starts to feel like so much less work because you've put all of those notes in, you've cleaned it up, you've made the categories match what your life is. And it's not something you have to keep reinventing. A lot of those things end up staying the same.
Yeah.
So the last thing I want to talk about then is what from March to now, so we're recording this at the beginning of September, so about 6 months, what kind of goals or progress have you been able to achieve by seeing exactly how much extra you have and when it's available?
So our biggest expense is we've been having to pay for several rounds of fertility treatments.
Okay.
And being able to see, like, with these contracts, I physically took these contracts to pay for this. And so being able to see how much we have left over to directly go into paying fertility treatment has been huge. Because they're not cheap. We're really not cheap. Part of the reason why, like, the kick in the pants to even move all the extra money we have in the checking to the savings account was to help fund and pay for that. Like, when we moved that money over, that paid for probably 75% of a treatment for us. So that was good, being able to all of a sudden like have all that extra money, quote unquote, to help go.
It was always yours, but now you get to use it for a different purpose.
Yeah. Now only just sitting there, like just because like it was actually, it had a purpose to go to. And then, you know, when we get to the end of every paycheck or every pay period, how much we have left over, you know, it's been going directly towards either paying ourselves back for a fertility treatment or going towards the next fertility treatment. So it's been like invaluable in helping us to feel like we can plan for that and pay for it without feeling stressed about it all the time.
Yeah.
Like, where's the money gonna come from?
Which is a huge thing. And stress is the last thing you need when you're going through fertility treatments as well. Mm-hmm. So do you feel like with the tool and what you were able, the numbers you were able to see in it, that you actually found more available than you would have found if you had been using a different tool, like that you actually felt permission to put more into savings than you would have felt otherwise?
Yes. In fact, when we were using every dollar, there'd be times when I would say, you know, like we should have X amount of dollars left over at the end of the month that we can move. And then when I would add stuff up, like it was just not there. And I'm like, where I was going. And sometimes I would sit there for hours and try to like hunt down where this money went. But other times I was just like, I don't know. I don't know where it is. But with this, it's easy to say, you know, we can move this money over and it's going to be fine. And then especially because we're only doing it for every 2 weeks. If we happen to move too much over, we're getting paid tomorrow. It'll be fine. Mm-hmm. It's not like I moved this money over in the middle of the month because I felt like we could, and then we still have to wait 2 weeks until we're getting paid again.
So as you are then putting those things away for goals, putting those transfers away for your fertility treatments, does it maybe motivate you to shift other things around? Or how do you feel like because you've increased your income recently, that the speed at which you're achieving those is good for what you guys need?
So my husband actually had to kind of have a little talk with me, because even though we had all this extra money coming in, I was still operating under the old income like mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had all this money to put into the fertility treatments, but I still was like, typhus is probably too strong a word, but like I'm still in that mentality. Like we only have X amount of dollars that we're dealing with, and now all of a sudden we're putting money for this and whatever. And so like my husband kind of had to talk to me, like, listen, like we have all this extra money coming in, we can be flexible a little bit more with certain things. And then being able to see that reality in the budget template also helped a lot. Like, even though, like, we went out to eat last week, even though it felt like a huge expense, like, looking at it, okay, that actually wasn't that bad. We still have a whole lot of extra money left over we can put into our savings account. I had to kind of talk myself back from the cliff. Like, yeah, it's fine. It's okay. It's okay to enjoy your money sometime. Mm-hmm. And still, you know, be going towards your goals.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people are naturally a spender, which it sounds like that's your husband. And then some people are naturally that, like, saver, frugality minded kind of person. And I think each person, whichever side we are more naturally on, could use a reminder to move a little bit towards the opposite, right? Like, yeah, that person who is naturally the spender, we just know that the thing that they're going to have to work on to grow in is going to be holding back, is going to be prioritizing long term over short term. But that same thing is true of people who are more savings minded. I like to think about, like, those two things are neutral pieces of information about us. When a lot of times we like to think that it's like a sinner and saint mentality, yeah, right? Yeah. Of like the one who is struggling with money is the spender, and the one who's good with money automatically is the saver. And really, those are just two neutral pieces of information, and each of them is going to have to work on something that doesn't come naturally to them.
Yep.
And so as someone who's more saver, hold on to the money, you know, spending is going to somehow harm us. Someone who thinks more along those lines is going to need to grow in being comfortable with spending and being okay with 99% of the money going to their goal instead of 100% of the money going to the goal. So I love that, in the same way that you've said that you've had to bring things up to him about spending and changing that so that you can achieve your goals, I love that he's doing the same for you, of bringing up that, like, we can go out to eat. Like, look at these numbers, Stacey.
Yeah.
We can go out to eat, and our goals are getting accomplished. And that's a hard thing to learn, especially, you know, you said you have shifted your income a lot. When we have those changes, it's hard to let go of what we had, because what you're describing is something that you had to do before, right? Like, so that was just a necessity of, this is the way that our finances need to look right now. And so when we get so used to those things being the things that feel like they're saving us or feel like they're protecting us, it is very hard to then let go of them when we don't need them anymore, because we still, in our head, it's still going to be somehow risky or dangerous if we don't continue living that way, even if your income has, you know, gone way up. So I think it's good that he's noticing that too, and pull both of you into the middle a little bit more, which is great. Did it feel hard to go out to eat?
It did a little bit, but it was one of those things where when I actually looked at the actual dent it made and what was left over, like, it was like, oh, okay, that wasn't that bad.
Yeah. Yep. And that's another great perk of the budget template. I think one of the things very similar to that is subscriptions. And a lot of times before people lay out their money in the budget template, they're like, oh my gosh, I have so many subscriptions, I have to get rid of them. And then we fill it out, and like, their entire subscription and fund category is like 1.8% of their take home pay. So it's like, you could cancel every single subscription and never have a subscription ever again, and you're going to move the needle by 1.8%, you know?
Yeah.
And those are the things that, for some reason, I'm a very numbers and math minded person, and I still, when I see those numbers broken down that way, I'm like, oh, that is not what I thought it was, or that's not what I felt like it was going to be, or what I felt like it was going to do to my budget. If somebody's like, oh, spreadsheets terrify me, or they're like, I love math and everything about it, I think everybody has a different perspective on their finances once they see those numbers laid out, how big or small of a dent something actually is making in the budget. I can chill about the family dinner, right? Because we're going to be fine, which is hard to do. Is there anything else that you would like to ask or talk about or mention as you've had these first 6 months of using the template? Anything you want to share with people listening who maybe are curious about it but haven't actually tried it?
I did want to ask about, will you pay all of your credit cards off Friday or Thursday before your new pay period, or before your new pay period starts? How do you make sure that, because usually, like, that's what we do too, like, you know, we pay them on Thursday, but like, they don't get taken out till, you know, Friday, sometimes Saturday, like sometimes they take forever to pay. How do you then, I guess, close out that last pay period when sometimes the payments aren't even coming out until Friday or Saturday, and make sure then that what, how much you thought you're going to have left, or like when you're starting over, what your new amount is when the payments aren't even coming out until a couple days into the next budget?
Sure. So a couple of things I do. I have Chase for my main checking account where all of our expenses are paid and our paychecks go in. A couple of my credit cards are Chase bank cards, or like Southwest is connected to Chase, and those do immediately come out. So like if I log on in on a Thursday and I pay a Chase credit card, that amount instantly it comes out of my checking account. So those I can handle more easily. Now I do have a couple Capital One credit cards, and those take, I feel like those take forever and a day to come out. Is Capital One one of the
We have Capital One card, and both it takes forever for the payments to, for like the transactions to post, and then it takes forever for the payments to post.
Yes. Yeah. So I actually pay those, like if I was getting paid on a Friday, I would actually pay it probably like Wednesday during the day at the latest, like during the bank day. Wednesday night, it's probably not going to come out till Friday. But if I pay it like in the middle of the day on Wednesday, it'll probably come out on Thursday. So I do try to do that. And then if I have another like purchase that I need to make in that just like Wednesday afternoon and Thursday, I'll just use my debit card just to minimize that. Some of the things, like you might have a bill on auto pay and it's going to charge on Thursday. If that happens, I just actually put that transaction into the next pay period. And I just say like, you know, I paid what was posted on Wednesday. If something happens to get charged on Thursday, it was already in my budget, right? Like I had it budgeted for that. I'm going to delete it out of the pay period that's ending and put it into the pay period that's starting. And that money will still be there in that checking account balance because you had budgeted for it. And so what you start with in your checking account will account for that bill that you just moved over. So it should wash out to be like a net zero. So that's something I do. And then as far as moving over and knowing what your checking account balance is, it does help. If you do it on Wednesday, it does help because even if the payment doesn't get posted to the card on Wednesday, they will withdraw the money from your account on Thursday. So you can at least see what's in your checking account. But I have had times where I didn't do it soon enough, or, you know, I thought about it right before the pay period ended or whatever. And I'll just grab like a post-it or scrap piece of paper and just take current checking account amount. And then every time, you know, if I make a Capital One payment, I'll just subtract on the paper to know what will be there once they pull it out. And that's the amount that I go ahead and put at the very top of my pay period for anything that will still be in the checking account at the start of the next pay period after the payment has been withdrawn. So it's a little bit, it is messy, and Capital One is the one that bothers me the most. And then the other thing is, you could also make like a middle of the pay period payment on those if you just want to decrease the amount. If you want to get in a habit of like setting a reminder on your phone to pay your Capital One card every Wednesday, just clearing through, because then you know that some of it is going to all the way clear and post.
Yeah.
So that the amount you're working with that is kind of holding over or in that little bubble period from Wednesday to Friday, the amount that you're working with would at least be smaller.
Gotcha. Okay.
So it is, I would say I haven't found anything that's like, that draws a neat line between one pay period to the next. But at the same time, I did budget on the template by pay period for like 6 years without a credit card before I started using them. And it wasn't a whole lot cleaner. There were still things like I wrote a check to somebody and they haven't deposited it yet. And so now I need to move that over from one to the next. And even sometimes certain debit card transactions would still be pending as opposed to posted. So I don't think it's a super unavoidable thing.
Got you.
That's a good question. I would say that's like a higher, more proficient budgeter question. So that lets me know that you're really into the weeds of how it works with the details and stuff. So that's exciting from my perspective to know that those are the things you're thinking about. That tells me that you're really in it. Well, Stacey, thank you so, so much for being willing to come back on the show. And I will put a link to the episode that you were on previously, which now, you know, is prior to using the template, so that people can kind of hear part one and part two of your story, so to speak, of where you were at before. I think last time, if I'm remembering right, we talked about variable income. Is that kind of the thing we focused on? Because you'd been working shifts and not knowing, you know, if I work this many shifts in a pay period versus this many. Okay. So a little preview, especially for people who are nurses or in medical fields that pay that way. That's what Stacey's first episode was about. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes. And then now we have this follow-up all about using the budget template.
Thanks for listening to the Debt-Free Mom podcast. If you want to join me as a guest on the show, go to dfmpodcast.com. The Debt-Free Mom podcast is hosted by me, Carly Hill, and is produced, edited, and mixed by Kyle Hill. Music for this episode was written by Kyle Hill. Hit subscribe wherever you're listening to join in with every new episode as we grow our confidence and contentment in our personal finances.